Those of you who receive the bulletin and make it a point to read through it may have noticed an announcement that has been in our bulletin for the last 2 weeks, having to do with a series that Mark and I are going to begin next Sunday and continue throughout the month of December. And that series is going to be entitled Rich Toward God. Those of you who are members of our church family should also have received earlier this week a letter from our elders. And if you consider yourself to be a member of our family and you didn't receive a letter, you need to let us know, because this letter went out to everyone who is a member of our family. And in that letter, you were also made aware of this series that's coming up in December, but you were also told about a book that we want to get into your hands by the same title as our sermon series, Rich Toward God. Some of you may have already seen that book as you walked in. A little bit later this morning, we're going to be distributing copies of this book to members of our church family. We hope we have enough. If not, we'll reorder the number we need. And I think some of you may have even already picked up a copy, but the rest of you hopefully will receive one as you leave. The exits are all going to be covered, and Greg Delancey is going to explain that process here a little bit later this morning. Our elders wanted to get a copy of that book into the hands of all of our church members because it kind of goes along with the theme that we're going to be preaching about throughout the month of December, and that has to do with stewardship and investing in the kingdom of God. And it occurs to me that having seen the bulletin maybe and having received the letter, that some of you might be wondering, why are we talking about this subject of stewardship and money and investing in the kingdom of God? Some of you might be wondering, why are you talking about that? And then some of you might also be wondering, and why are you talking about it now? And so I'm kind of guessing this morning, maybe not everybody is asking one or both of those questions, but I kind of feel like there might be some of you who are wondering, well, okay, what's prompted this? Why are we talking about this? Because here's the thing, we don't talk a lot about money and possessions and stewardship in this church. If you're a visitor here today, and I know there are a lot of people in our world who have this perspective of church people, that all we ever talk about is money. Give us your money. Give us. That's all you Christians ever talk about. I know that possession, that mindset exists out there. But if ever there were a church that doesn't talk a lot about money and its possessions and stewardship, I think it would be us. We don't talk about this a lot here. In fact, I could probably count on both hands the number of times I have preached about money in the 30-some-odd years that I have preached off and on in this church. I could probably count the number of times I've talked about that topic on one or two hands. It's been very few times over the 30-some-odd years that I have filled this pulpit. And I don't remember the other ministers who have stood behind this pulpit speaking about this topic a lot either. So I know if you're a guest, I get it. You may think, well, that's all churches ever talk about. But we really don't talk about this very much in this particular church. So some of you may be wondering, well, why are you talking about it now then? Why this topic and why now? So in preparation for this series that we're going to begin next Sunday, I want to try to give you some good reasons for why I think this is a good conversation for us as the university family to have. And then toward the end, I want to address, well, why now? Okay? So if you're following along in your notes, in the outline that you were given, I know some of you like to do this, others of you probably hate it, but for those of you who like it, we're going to run through several reasons why I think this is a conversation worth having. And then we'll talk about why now. Okay, so if you want to follow along in your outline with us this morning, here we go. Number one, why do we need to talk about money and stewardship and investing in the kingdom? Well, let's start with this, because Jesus, you've heard of him, right? Because Jesus taught about this subject matter. It might be surprising to some of you. In fact, I suspect it is. But did you know that outside of the kingdom of God, Jesus had more to say about money and wealth and stewardship and investing in the kingdom than he did any other topic that he spoke about during the 3 years of his public ministry? Do you know that? We've just finished a series on prayer. And who of us in here who is following Jesus would take the position that prayer is unimportant? I don't think any of us would. And Jesus spoke about prayer. And we looked extensively at what is called the Lord's Prayer, what we call the disciples' prayer. Jesus talked about prayer. But he had a lot more to say specifically about money and wealth and possessions than he did even an important subject like the subject of prayer. Jesus had a lot to say about wealth and possessions and investing in the kingdom. Let me just walk you through a few scriptures here real quickly. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19, Jesus said, Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Heard this? Where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures where? In heaven. Where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. How much is the kingdom of heaven worth to us? It should be worth everything it takes to be a part of it. Truly I tell you, listen to this one. That was Jesus' way of saying, listen up, I'm about to say something really important. Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, it occurred to me this morning when I was going over these notes, that when I read that verse, someone might push back on say that and say, now wait a minute, I'm not anywhere close to being rich. But let's think about this globally. Let's not think about this culturally here, because culturally, many of us, most of us here this morning, are not in the upper 1%. But globally, if you drove yourself to this assembly, or if you have access to transportation, Globally, if you have a refrigerator with food in it, globally, if you've got a pair of shoes, anybody here barefoot? Globally, if you've got shelter, and globally, if you've got something to wear and access to water to drink, you're rich. So we can look at this culturally and say, well, now, wait a minute, Charlie, I'm not rich by any stretch of the matter. I get it. But globally, I'm speaking to a room full of rich people. Now, with that lens, with that perspective, listen again to the words of Jesus. Truly, I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's hard for us to hear that verse, I think, because we want to push back on that. I'm not rich. But globally, we are. Let those words penetrate the defenses we all have and hear Jesus say again, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus had some pretty hard stuff to say about this topic. So, why do we need to talk about money and stewardship and investing in the kingdom of God? Because Jesus taught about this subject matter. And we need to pay as much attention to what he taught about this as to any other subject that he taught about. What did he tell his disciples to do before he ascended back to the Father? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're familiar with that part of the verse, but what's the second part of it? Teaching them to obey some of the things that I taught you. Yeah. Teaching them to obey all that I taught you. Did Jesus teach about this subject? Did Jesus teach about money and possessions and wealth and stewardship and investing in the kingdom? Yes, he did. So if he did, then that is a subject matter that those of us who are following ought to also want to know about and follow what he taught. Okay, moving along quickly. Number two, additionally, Scripture has over 2,000 verses about money and possessions and stewardship. The Holy Spirit has woven throughout Scripture important principles about money and wealth and possessions and stewardship. Proverbs 11:28, those who trust in their riches will fall. Proverbs 27:24, for riches do not endure forever. 1 Timothy 6:17, command those who are rich in this present age not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. For in this way they lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Our relationship with money is important to God. Important enough that the Holy Spirit wove throughout Scripture many important teachings and principles having to do with how we handle money and wealth and possessions and how we view investing in the kingdom of God. Number three, why do we need to talk about money and stewardship and investing in the kingdom? Because we use and handle how we use our wealth reveals the true condition of our heart. Jesus taught that how we view wealth and possessions is a good indicator of what's going on inside the heart. Money and wealth has a way of bringing to light that which is hidden in our heart. And so the way we manage our wealth, the way we use the resources God has given us, is a sign of either a spiritually healthy heart or a spiritually sick heart. If that's the case, isn't this something we should talk about every once in a while? How I handle the wealth and the resources that God has entrusted to me says a lot about the condition of my heart. I think that's important. Number four, why do we need to talk about money and stewardship and investing in the kingdom? Because getting our view of money and possessions wrong can have serious consequences. Scripture says money itself isn't bad or good. It's really kind of neutral. It's how we view it and how we use it that makes it a good thing or a bad thing, right? Again, what did the Apostle Paul say about money? He said, the love of money is a root of all evil. By craving money. See, here's the thing. Even if I don't have a lot of it, I can still crave it, right? And if I crave something, I might do something I shouldn't do to get it, right? And so Paul says it's not money itself that is the root of all evil, it's the love of money that is the root of all evil. And by craving money, by craving wealth, by craving possessions, that leads me to do whatever I can to get whatever it is I want, Paul says, many have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Our walk with Jesus suffers when we have a misguided view of our wealth and our financial resources and possessions. Number five, why do we need to talk about this? Because Americans in general and many church members in particular are struggling in the area of money. Americans and American Christians are not exempt from this, are experiencing some real struggles in the area of personal finance. Too many of us are too deep in debt, and we have nothing saved for the future. Some of the statistics are really quite terrifying. 40% of Americans do not have enough cash on hand to cover a $400 emergency. A $400 emergency is really not much of an emergency at all. I'm not even sure that'll buy a water heater. I haven't had to buy one in a while, so I don't remember now how much they cost. Will $400 get it? No. My kids have recently bought one, apparently. Water heater goes out. 40% of Americans don't have enough cash on hand to go replace a water heater. It's recommended by financial counselors and consultants that you have 3 to 6 months of living expenses set aside for an emergency. Many Americans and many church members are nowhere close to that. Most of us are financially living on the edge, viewing credit cards as our backup plan. Here's the problem with that. Credit card debt's at an all-time high in this country. The average American apparently has a credit card balance of about $6,500. That's up 3% from last year. Total credit card debt has reached its highest point ever in this country, surpassing $1 trillion in 2017. It gets scarier. The average American household carries about $140,000 in debt. That's according to the Federal Reserve's latest numbers, yet the U.S. Census Bureau reports that the median household income is just $59,000. That suggests many Americans are living well beyond their means. But here's what really gets me. 33% of Americans, and this likely includes a number of Christians, have $0 saved for retirement. Zero. 23% have saved between $1 and $10,000. But get this, 66% of millennials fall into the having nothing saved for retirement category. I've got a friend who preaches for another denomination, not associated with Churches of Christ. Built a large addition to their church. We were talking about it one day. He said, here's why we've done it. We've done it while we've still got some of the greatest generation around to help build it, because we know the millennials will never build it. Number one, they won't have the money. And number two, they don't have the heart or the stomach for it. And so if we were ever going to build something, we had to do it now. Because we knew we'd never do it in the future. When a church can't do what God has called it to do because too many of its members are up to their eyeballs in debt and can't afford to give more than a token amount, that church is in trouble. Now, don't misread me. I'm not necessarily saying that's us. That's just any church that can't do what God has called it to do because too many of its members don't have any money because they're in debt, something's wrong. That's a conversation we might need to have in regards to that. So, hey, here's just a completely something for you to think about. Has nothing to do with the series that's coming up. But in March of next year, we're bringing in the Church of Christ equivalent to Dave Ramsey. How many of you know who Dave Ramsey is? All right, everybody knows who Dave Ramsey is. We couldn't get Dave to come. All right? But it costs too much money to get Dave to come. So we got the Church of Christ equivalent to Dave Ramsey, which is a friend of mine in Mark's. We've met him, known him now for a few years. We'll be coming out of Nashville, called Steve Diggs. Steve's written a couple of books. He's an entrepreneur, kind of knows his what he's talking about here. In March, we're bringing him in to do a two-day seminar on getting out of debt and trying to get things under control so that we have money to spend on the kingdom, on the things that are really, really important. Just tuck that away, because that's coming up early next year. And that kind of speaks to this point right here. Look, some of you right now be saying, Charlie, I'd love to give more to the kingdom, but I am absolutely drowning in debt. We get it. So we want to try to help get you out of debt, or at least get you on a path to getting out of debt. So maybe you can give what you really want to give as you try to invest in the kingdom and do things with your money that really are of eternal perspective. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Number six, last one. Why do we need to talk about money and stewardship and investing in the kingdom? Because disciples like us make money decisions almost every single day. You're going to make some money decisions this coming week. And in fact, because of the season of the year that we're in, you're likely going to spend more money this coming month than you do any other month out of the year. Right? On average, I think Americans spend around $900 a year on Christmas. I think it was a little lower a few years ago after the big crash, and we pulled back a little bit, but it's kind of gone back up incrementally each year. So we're now around $1,000. So we're going to make money decisions this week. We're going to make money decisions this month. So here's the question. The question is, will our money decisions be informed and shaped by the teaching of Scripture, or by the standards and norms of culture, and or our own personal desire for comfort? Okay? I think that's worth saying again. We're going to make some money decisions. Every single person in here is going to make some money decisions this coming week and this coming month. The question is, will our decisions be informed and shaped by Scripture, or by the cultural norms of the society in which we live, and or our personal desire for comfort? Our culture has no problem telling us how we should spend our money and what we should value. As disciples who are leaning into a very different story, we need to know how to think about our relationship with money from a biblical perspective, not a cultural one. Would you agree with that? I hope you would agree with that. This is not about what our culture is encouraging us to do. This is about what Scripture is encouraging us to do. Will we make our decisions about money and wealth and our resources based upon what our culture is shaping and squeezing and encouraging us to do? Or will we make those decisions based upon, informed upon, how Scripture would have us to understand resources and money and possessions and wealth? That's the question for all of us. Are we going to decide based upon personal comfort and what is the norm culturally? Or are we going to let Scripture shape us? Okay. I could give other reasons, but I think those six suffice. This is a subject that needs to be discussed. We need to have a conversation about this. And so that's kind of the why. Now, the second question, real quickly, why now? All right, my response to that question is, if not now, when? When would be a better time? Next year, next decade, the next generation? I mean, if not now, when? I heard someone recently say the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time to plant a tree is today. Well, I can't roll back 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, or 30 years. So what should have been, could have been done back 5 to 30 years ago, I can't undo. But we can begin to have this conversation now. So if not now, when? So let's have this conversation. Let's seek to be informed by Scripture how we should look at and how we should use and how we should invest in the kingdom and how we should best use the resources that God has given us. And obviously we have a wide range of individuals here who have access to different resources, different amounts of money, different possessions, so on and so forth. But through it all, God is speaking to us no matter where we are, no matter who we are, no matter how much we have or how little we have. God's principles can speak to us about how we should view our money, how we should view possessions, how we should invest in eternal matters like the kingdom of God. So, now? Why not now? This is perhaps as good a time as any to have this conversation. So, beginning next week, this is kind of the prelude to the series. We're going to have four lessons on the topic of rich toward God. And I'm going to pray for that series, and then Greg's going to come up and explain how we're going to get this book into your hands, why we're doing that, what we hope to accomplish with that, and then we'll be dismissed today. Let's pray. Father, your word is our guide. Scripture seeks to inform us and shape us. The Holy Spirit seeks to use his sword, your word, to teach us and to help us live better lives, to help us live rich lives, good lives that honor you and advance your kingdom. As we think about this subject over the coming weeks and the coming month, I pray you'd open our hearts to hear what you have to say about our wealth and our resources and being good stewards of what you've given us and doing all that we can to advance your kingdom. For Father, truly, at the end of time, your kingdom will be the only one left standing. And so it has the supremacy. It has far more lasting value than anything this world has to offer. If we really want to invest and get a return on our investment, what better return could we get than investing in that which has eternal value? So open our eyes and our hearts to hear these messages and to hear what your word has to say, and may we seek to change where needed, seek to grow where needed, as we seek to become disciples who obey Jesus, not just in a few things that are good and easy and familiar, but in all things, and even in some hard things. And this may well be one of those hard things. So help us want to follow Jesus in everything that he taught and align our lives with Scripture. We pray and offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.